But we are on a series called The Family Road Trip. And last week, Pastor Richie talked about how to do hard things. And we are trying to get to a location on this family road trip. And that location is Jesus' feet. I'm going to point at the cross today because that signifies our faith right there. But that is what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to Jesus' feet. That is the ultimate goal, to be like Jesus every single day of our lives. So that is where we're going as a family. And last week, Pastor Richie talked about doing hard things. And to me personally, I was trying to figure out exactly how I've gotten in this place. And the Lord really pointed out to me, he's like, I've never gotten anything handed to me. Every time I've got something, I've had to earn it. And I really put in the work. And my teammate's in here too, so he knows how it goes. But we grind. And we get back up. We fall, we get back up. And nothing's going to stop us. Nothing's going to hold us down to get to where we need to get to. But when I truly think about how I got here to stand up in front of y'all today, to be trusted to pick up this mic and serve the Lord with my voice, it brought me down to one particular variable. And before I get to that variable, I want to talk about family. What the definition of family is in my brain, I'm thinking about like blood family, on a family road trip, and I think about my family I'm about to come into, and I think about the 8-year-old son I'm about to have, how he's going to be in the background during this family road trip. He's like, are we there yet? I'm like, oh, heck no. So I'm getting ready for this message, I was like, how am I going to preach about a family road trip that is super, super annoying, and how we're going to get there? And I'm like, okay. And the Lord's like, no, bro. So, sorry, I talk in slang a lot. So this is how I interpret the Lord talking to me. He's like, no, bro, tighten up. Listen to me. Listen, what does my word say? So I want to go over the definition that the dictionary says. It says, all the descendants from a common ancestor. That's family. If y'all missed it, don't worry, I did too. When I first read this, I was like, all right, yeah, cool. Still thinking about that family mindset of kids and all the ancestors, aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, mom, dad. Let me read it one more time. It says, all the descendants from a common ancestor. So I'm still in this mindset of like family, right? And I missed it first time I read it. And if you didn't miss it, then the door's over there. You guys can just take it. You don't need to hear this message at all. You're good. You're definitely better than me. But then the Lord said, look into my word. And I was like, okay. So then the scripture I have in Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 50, Jesus says this. It says, as Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they want to speak to you. Then Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he pointed to the disciples and said, look, these are my mothers and my brothers. And then he goes on to say this. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. I'm like, all right, I can preach on that. I can do that. I'm good. Truly, we have this mindset of family can only be in the family that we were created, we have been placed in here with our blood and everything else like that. And there is a foundation with that family as of that blood bond. You know, you've seen in the movies when they cut their hand open and they cut, each person cuts their hand open, and they shake hand. Oh, now we're sealed. Yeah. Our bloods are like interjected with each other, whatever it is. Then there's that time when, like for example, me and my brother, we used to tear our town up. We walked in together, they'd be like, oh, here they are again. Oh, yeah. Goodness, they're gonna cause some trouble here. But that's what it is. As a family, you walk together. You try to get to a spot, and they know when you show up, right? As a family, we're trying to get to a spot. We're trying to get to Jesus' feet. And to get there, we got to stay together. And when we go there, they better, ooh, then them Christians are again. They gonna heal people and do all sorts of crazy stuff, but I like being around them, you know? And we also take each other along. We hold each other accountable. That's what we're trying to get to. That's the family. And y'all, according to the word of God, if you do the Father's will, you're in the family. So I'm part of your family, and you're part of my family. And fam, we're going on a family road trip. We're going to Jesus' feet, all right? And so how do we get there? The one thing that the Lord laid on my heart. Quietly. So even when I don't talk into the mic, they can get a little awkward. Start thinking, oh, does he not know what he's doing? You forget about what he's going to say? Your brain starts going a million miles an hour, but how are we going to get a fam? How are we going to get to Jesus' feet on this road trip? Quietly. Got to log back into my computer. So there's a couple of variables that the Lord has put on my heart. Better distractions and chaotic things and everything else like that. These variables are what gets in our way of being quiet. And the first one is chaos. There's so many things going on in our brain, in our life, while people, you can't even, like, these things just happen. Like, you don't even know they're coming your way, and it's chaos. You're running around, head cut off, like chicken with the head cut off, running around crazy, doing whatever you need to do, but you can't focus on what you need to focus on. It's chaos. It's truly chaos. In Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, it says, "But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases." So Jesus is in a place where he's telling people not to tell exactly what he's doing. He's healing. He's saving their lives. People that are literally plagued, can't be seeing people, can't walk, basically about to die. He saves their life, and they can't even go and tell anyone about it because Jesus knows that he has a certain amount of time to go and flip the world literally upside down and spread his news about the true God. And his purpose is to be here on earth. And so the next verse says, "But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness to pray for prayer." Withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. See, the wilderness is quiet. And to pray, you got to get quiet. When you pray, you're just talking to God. That's all it is. That wilderness is a scary place. There's no one there to pat you on the back. There's no one there to root you on. There's no one there to hold you accountable. You're just in a spot where it's just you and you. Woo. It's just you and you there. But if Jesus can do all of this, if he's literally flipping the world upside down on what they believe, turning them to the true God, giving them reasons to live, he only has a certain amount of time to do this, to fulfill the purpose that he has on this earth, to glorify God in everything that he is doing. Man, I'd be literally going crazy. Like, oh, I gotta do this. I'd be running places Jesus only walked. I gotta be running places. I'd be doing whatever it is. I'd literally be going crazy. I only have to share my time. But he's telling people, literally, don't tell people about me. Just receive it. Just go. And then even in all of that, he's still calm, and he still even takes time away from what he's doing. And he goes to the wilderness quietly to be with God. Listen, fam, we are on a road trip to Jesus. We're trying to get to him. And if we try to get to him, we got to be like him. And he spends time quietly no matter what is going on with Jesus. The next one is distractions. I can't tell y'all how many times I be like, Genesis tells me, "Hey, can you give me some water?" Yeah, yeah. And I go, like, walk into the water, and Jeremiah's like, "Brack, you want to play some games? Come on, let's go play." And I'm like, "What was I doing?" "Yeah, I'll go play." I know. And she's like, "Water." I'm like, "Okay, cool, cool." But distractions, for real. Like, it happens. And we're going to have, like I said, we're going to have some fun. Can you come up here and help me with the illustration, please? This one is very, you're going to turn around. Okay, thank you, appreciate it. So you're going to pretend, but not pretend, but be serious, but pretend. That's it, okay. And you're going to pray, and you're going to get in the presence of the Lord. You're going to pray out loud. I know you're good at it, so it's not going to be too awkward. And I'm the cell phone. I'm in her pocket. So, go ahead. She's in her quiet time, right? This is her trying to get her quiet time in, spend the time with the Lord, and get right for the day so we don't kill the children. And then I'm the cell phone, so I'm in her pocket. Go ahead. You can start praying. Ring. Okay, see, it's impossible to pay attention when your phone is ringing. It's a distraction, right? Okay, but then she silences the phone. Puts me back in her pocket. Okay, go ahead. Okay, look, she can't pray no more. So even though she tried to pause or silence the cell phone, it's still a distraction. Don't be across the room. Don't be. Okay, cool. I'm all the way over here on across the room. She throws the phone away. It's still on silent. The buzz is still happening. Go ahead. Spend time with the Lord. I'm the phone, remember? And you know the phone's just talking to you. I'm ready to go. What's going on inside of me? Exactly. Look, even though she paused me, silenced me, threw me on the other side of the room, I'm still a distraction. Y'all, it's very funny. Thank you very much. It's very funny how even... Yeah, you can cover it. Let's go. Even a small cell phone, the thing that we use for everyday life, is literally such a distraction. It's such a distraction. We're trying to get time with our Father, literally get right for the day. This phone is sitting here, and it's a distraction. I mean, it's a distraction either way, let's be honest, but it has some good effects to it. But it's a distraction. And even though you silence it, put it in your pocket, still there, you throw it across the room, you're like, man, what is, who's, who, am I going to miss something? Who do I know that is I love that, I mean, they good? You're like, Lord, please, what's my phone doing? Okay. Yo, if you think that if you're going to spend time with God and he's not going to protect whatever you love in the moment you are spending time with him, he created you, he created everyone. He created everyone you love. He literally leads you in your way. He's not going to leave you there. And he's definitely not going to let anything happen. Even if something bad does happen, while you're spending 5, 10, an hour, holy moly, an hour with the Lord a day, in that hour, he will protect everything you love. I promise you that you can put things away. You can put that cell phone, even turn it off. In Jesus' name, for 5, 10 minutes, an hour, whatever it is that you're doing, and for it not to distract you, so you can get right with God. We have to tune out those distractions. And here's a good one. If you don't believe me, here's what's in the Bible. In Luke chapter 10, it's about Martha and Mary. If you don't know about Martha and Mary, let's read about them. It says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Jesus knew this. Just saying. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. Martha thought she was doing... Man, Jesus in her crib. She's trying to get it right. I'm trying to cook for Jesus. She's walking. She got an apron. She got flour everywhere and all over her hair. She's like running around. Oh my gosh, Jesus in my house. Jesus in my house. Jesus in my house. I gotta do this. Please do this. And then she looks over and Mary's just sitting. Ooh. Mary's just sitting at his feet, not doing nothing. What the heck? She's getting mad, right? And then it goes on to say, she came to Jesus and said, "Ooh, how many of y'all done it? Man, you think you a Christian? And I've been doing all this. And you Man, you gonna sit at Jesus' feet? I'll do nothing. I'm serving the Lord. So he goes to him and says, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Heck no. I am doing everything. I'm serving you. You deserve this food. You deserve it. Go ahead. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, 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 Martha. You are worried and upset over these details! Exclamation mark. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it. And it will not be taken away from her. Fam, where are we trying to go? To Jesus' feet. Mary's already there. And she ain't doing nothing. Homegirl's quiet. And she's sitting there. Martha's running around trying to do everything. When she's running around in circles, she ain't going nowhere. Mary's already there. She's literally where we're trying to go, fam. She is there. She ain't do anything. Mic drop. Nothing. We're already in. Mary didn't do a thing, and Martha was trying to do everything. What is distracting you? What's distracting you? The next one is being scared of silence. And that wilderness can be tough. That wilderness can be tough. For real. Because then you're only fighting yourself. Like I said, your brain starts wandering. What's going to happen when I'm silent? Ain't no one there. No one's there. Don't be scared of that. Go back to Luke chapter 5, verse 16. It says, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Like I said, y'all, we're trying to get to Jesus. To be like him is to do what he does. He's in the wilderness. Things can get shaky when you're by yourself in silence. I'm going to do this. I want to take some time right now just to truly like be in the silence. I can get up here and speak everything I want and do everything I want. And another thing I want to say before we do this is, again, being scared of the silence is also being scared of what's going to happen. Or even an aspect of not truly knowing what to do. Yeah, we can sit in silence. I am witness to this. I can sit in silence forever and literally be a squirrel and think about everything else but what I'm trying to, but trying to be with the Lord. Every thought. And it takes practice to get there. It takes practice to be quiet. It takes practice to go to the wilderness and be okay with that. Don't get discouraged when you are in the wilderness. Don't get discouraged when it is silent. But sit there and trust that God knows and he has you where you are for a purpose. So right now, I just want us all to sit here in silence. Whatever posture it is that you want to take, with your head down, eyes closed, stand up, lay down on the ground, you be you, do your thing. But for real, just for however long Spirit tells me or leads us to, I just want to sit here in the silence. And you might hear kids screaming or something hissing or buzzing or whatever it is, but in this time, let's truly just sit here and talk to God however you know how to do, and not be scared of the silence. Don't feel awkward, but just sit here. That was about 2 minutes. Ben, y'all can come back up here. That was only 2 minutes ago. Imagine if we took time every day and got quiet and stood in the silence and just spent time with God, no distractions. I'm telling you, it's not easy. Maybe you sat here, you truly felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you sat here and you're thinking about what you ate for breakfast, what you're going to do after this. Listen, I've been there. It happens. It takes time to get into and to quiet your mind off and to hear from the Lord, truly. But I want to leave us on a high note and just remind you, truly remind you, that in the silence, through the chaos, through the distractions, that's where God is. God is there. Jesus withdrew to the wilderness to go spend time with his Father. His Father is our Father. And that silence is where the Lord is. It's where he's at. Another reminder is that the battle is already won. So when we go into silence, when we go spend time with God, when we go trust in him and have faith, because that's what it takes. It takes faith to trust in the Lord with everything that you have going on in your life. To quiet everything, to know that God has you and your loved ones. Because even in that quiet spot, you want to know what everything's going on. You want to be in control. But when you totally give it up, the battle is won. God already stands on top of everything we're going through. Everything that we are going through and we will come up to, God is already, he's already there. The battle is already won. The good old faithful, John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world, the whole world. He gave his one and only son, his blood, his family, the family I thought at first, so that everyone in the whole world who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. It doesn't say who does the most, who can sing the best, who can dance the best, who can play the best. Doesn't say that if you care about your life and worry about everything and try to do everything for everyone and be that strong person that you know you are. It literally just says, so that everyone who believes in him, will not perish but have eternal life. And we're trying to get to Jesus. Mary's already there. I'm trying to go meet homegirl over there. Might go try to find her after this. But how we get there is quietly. And we trust that the Lord has us, that he has everything that we worry about. Another verse. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? After this, Jesus goes, no. Heck no. They can't. So have faith in the Lord. Be quiet with him. Know that he has you. Know that he loves you so much that you can take that time every day, that you can sit in his presence. Y'all, we only sat here for 2 minutes quietly. Y'all, I can bet that's been the quietest 2 minutes in such a long time. That's where God is. And that's where we go. I cannot wait to take this road trip with you. We may not be talking to each other a lot because we're going to poop quietly. But as a family, we hold each other accountable. We walk alongside each other. And we definitely know where we're going. And that's at Jesus' feet. Very quietly. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you for this, even this day, for the words that you spoke into us, for the time that we have with you. Lord, I pray that you help us be quiet. I pray that you can love on us and that we can trust you and have the faith, Lord, the faith to walk and to do it quietly. Help us not be scared of this silence. We feel your presence. We know that you're good. Help us stand on your promises. And thank you for not leaving us to where we are, for where we're going. And we just love you so much. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.